The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in stores, wherever fine books are sold. It's also on my... in my area. Mr. Lally's also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. Here he is, folks. Democracy dies in deafness. Yeah, hi, Frank.
Democracy dies in deafness. Well, hi. How you doing? I have a pinched nerve. So have you ever had one of those?
They're pretty hateful.
Yeah, not great. So every once in a while, I might just say, that hurts. It's not you. it's just my back. And it's fine, folks.
It's
getting slightly better. Yeah, I've got some medicine. The best stuff is a muscle relaxer. It's working this time. But
but sometimes I have to say that I talked to someone once who was taking a muscle relaxant.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say that conversation did not fill me with absolute certainty that he had completely heard me.
Well, it's making me very drowsy, so I'm not taking it, obviously not taking it now. So
okay.
I took it last night, and I literally fell asleep sitting down. just totally conked out.
And that's the other thing is you have to make sure that you are in a place when you do fall asleep that is helpful to your physical condition, you know, so that you don't wake up in a chair scrunched into a position that you wouldn't have otherwise chosen.
Or in a ditch if you're driving a car. So
yeah, that you don't want to do.
Anywhere near a car.
Or like I was just mentioning this is just terrible, but like the Trivago guy who got himself into a bit of difficulty.
Sure,
But anyway,
let's talk about what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So, because I'm going to be fine. Ow! No, I'm fine.
Okay.
So let's talk about what I'm calling democracy dies in deafness. And that's obviously a play on the Washington Post now as a slogan. Democracy dies in darkness.
Which sounds a bit Batman, but that's okay.
Yeah, people have criticized. But the point they're trying to drive at is what we'll discuss today. Look, as we all know now, I strongly oppose what the Trump administration is trying to do to transform Medicaid. That's a program for the poor that's provided free health care to the poor for 50 years, into a program that requires the poor to work or pay monthly premiums. In fact, both. You've got to work and you have to pay monthly premiums to get to see a doctor, to be able to have your medicine that you really need. So if you don't work, you don't and you don't pay, there's a good chance you don't have health care. And we know how dangerous that is. So anyway, without putting words into your mouth, Jill, because you do that better than I can, you're worried that I've been so tough on Trump that our listeners might stop listening to us.
Well, not you per se. It's what I worry about is there is such a polarization, understandably. It certainly sells. And the people who detest this administration are, you know, feel validated when they hear someone with strong views. And the people who do not detest this administration tune out because they're absolutely, they have now spent however long it's been, and they're going to hear more. They know who they are. They are non-people. They et cetera. So my issue always, and this was one of the lunacies of, when Marshall and I started Robin Hood Radio, we wanted to find a way, because we actually live in a very diverse area,
mm-hmm.
and diverse and interdependent and you know, it, frankly, a good model. And we didn't want people to feel as though, without sounding twee, we wanted everybody to feel like they had a piece of their local radio station.
Yes, and they
do. Yeah, no, and it's been, it actually, somehow, you know, when they write the book and please sell the movie, right? Somebody, anybody, it worked. And a lot goes to Marshall because the fact is he's been here for so long that he is trusted. And it's something I say, it's something I could have, even though I've been here for now ages and ages, it was the combination that actually worked out. But all of this to say that there is information available to people irrespective of their position, their political positions. And one of my just hopeless quests is to, but I'm not stopping, is just to get the information out. I don't really care at this point who thinks what. The information, if it's correct, just needs to be disseminated.
And that's really at the core of what we should bounce back and forth today. Because behind that, whatever that Batman slogan from the Washington Post, okay, so democracy dies in darkness means it's not being discussed. But here's the root of it. And I was, among other things I've done, I was president of the American Society of Magazine Editors, and I actually wrote the code of ethics for magazine editors. And it comes down to this. Journalists have an obligation to report the truth as they know it. And especially if what is happening can honestly be perceived as some sort of a threat to freedom, some sort of a threat to the law. Now, democracy dies in deafness. To me, that means that the public has an obligation to tune into what is happening that threatens their own freedom, that threatens the law, that threatens their neighbor's freedom in the law. And reporters and the public are never going to agree on everything. We're in a polarized world right now, especially now. But we have to learn to listen to each other, make every attempt to do that. And so this gets to the Medicaid thing. When I see what Trump is trying to do with healthcare in general, and Medicare in particular, that which, by the way, one out of four persons in the United States now is on Medicaid. So when it gets to one out of four of us, and it's the poor and most vulnerable and tend to be sick, that's really, for me, that's topic A and what are the facts. So your question is very significant, and I do worry about it, Jill. I really do. How should someone like me use your microphone to address the threat that I see to healthcare from this administration without coming off as too partisan and therefore alienating people who were really, and especially the people we're actually really trying very much to reach and to give them the facts. So, you know, here's the thing that bothers me about this. And the way Trump looks at this, and it isn't just Trump, it's part of his administration, there's a point of view that if you're poor, it's your own fault. So if I force you to go to work, it's for your own good. So, and then in requiring people to go to work and pay a monthly premium, Trump is actually driving people off Medicaid and he's saving taxpayer dollars. And I really think that's the hidden aim behind this. They're going to cut the safety net and they're going to reduce the budgets for Medicaid all across state by state, all across the country. And it's not fair on so many levels. It's very difficult for people who don't have their best health in many cases, who have family obligations in many cases, who don't have adequate transportation, to require those people to work 20 hours a week at a minimum, okay, and also to come up with the money, you know, for the premiums. And beyond that, to report your status monthly and to report it online,
yeah, I mean, all
that
of
just strikes me as cruel.
But quick question.
I don't want to be stopped short of saying that. I think it's cruel.
No, I don't think you should be. But didn't we also establish that in at least some cases, and this isn't in defense of it, but that the courts were stepping in and preventing it?
Yeah, but you made the very good point that what kind of a world are we living in where we're getting bailed out by the courts stepping in and stopping cruel policies? We shouldn't be in a position like that. We should be moving ahead with ideas that that everyone could see makes common sense and does good, okay? We shouldn't be in a situation where we need a judge to get us off the wrong track.
And
you're right about that point.
And then to say, you know, to ruin my good point, part of it was, sadly, this is not just in the health care realm. It is in major policy.
We've talked about the environment.
That's right. So this is the default position as things stand right now. And it's something that people need to absolutely be aware of so that they can filter the information that they're getting and know what's actually going to happen, know what the potential pitfalls are, know what the potential protections are, at least for now, et cetera. And I think that one of the places that and in one second, I'm going to shut up and ask you for the information that you actually have on this. But I think one of the places where the media, let's call it, you know, sorry for lumping everyone together, is doing a massive disservice is because of the way that revenue is driven, it's of a necessity to make their readers, viewers, listeners, you name it, anxious.
Yes.
And that anxiety, of course, creates, you know, more, I need more information, but it also, starts interfering with the ability to think critically.
Right. Yeah, we're just yelling at each other. The administration comes up with one thing after another that outrages people. I mean, this business about now moving the people who are seeking asylum into this country, putting them on a bus and sending them to sanctuary cities so that they'll cause problems for Democrats in their districts who oppose Trump. It's using people as pawns to make a political point.
Which is, I have to say.
So it's like the outrage of the day. That's all my point is. Tomorrow there'll be another one.
Equally.
And then what happens then is journalists like us right now start to raise our voice and be upset about it. And then other people say, oh, here we go again. And they shut off the radio. They turn off their TV or they listen, but they don't listen to learn anything. They listen to affirm their opposition.
Right.
And it's just. And studies, that's what the studies show. That people don't, I mean, because we know there are people watching TV and CNN and listening to you more than ever to get the news, but they're not to get it to.
But they're getting a different version. They're getting their own agreeable version. Exactly.
Yeah. How do I lower my voice? See, I'm going to calm down. How do we lower our voices and get through to people? I think that's the question for Robin Hood Radio for you and me today.
And in 1 minute and 56 seconds, you are somehow going to give us the information that you have acquired. So I'm going to say nothing, and you're going to talk. So go for it.
Yeah, I think the way we do it is we go to the facts. So here are the facts. If you don't have a lot of money coming into your household in the tri-state area, man, I'll tell you the exact numbers in a minute, you have access to Medicaid. It comes under different names in different states. In Connecticut, it's called Husky and so on, but I think it's MassCare or something like that in Massachusetts. But it's Medicaid, okay? And it's available to people with low incomes. So what it really comes down to is if you're making somewhere around $16,600 as an individual, if you're earning below that in any one of the three states, and if you've got a family income that's somewhat around $34,600, so that's $16,600, $34,600 for a family, you're eligible, probably eligible, for Medicaid in your state. And there isn't a time period the way there is with Medicare, where you got to apply at a certain time of the year, at the end of the year. You can apply at any point that your income falls below that level. So here's what you do. If you're in Connecticut, grab a pencil. If you're in Connecticut, all you have to do is call. You can go online and do it, but all you really need to do is call. So in Connecticut, 855-805-4325. Okay, in New York State, 718-557-4325. 1399. In Massachusetts, an 800 number, 800-841-2900. Someone on the other end of that line can help you. They'll walk you through all the requirements. They'll help you fill out whatever forms are needed, mail them to you, or you do it online. But you can apply, and you can apply to, you can apply today. You can, so, and I would say one more thing. If you're having difficulty with income, if you're having difficulty hanging on to your health care because of that, don't hesitate to make the phone call. Find out what's involved and get the benefits that the state, and I believe the federal government, ought to make available to everyone in the country without any onerous requirements, without you having to do anything more than make that phone call and listen to the person on the other end and just follow through.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And please look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online and in stores.